Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together. It's an adventure I like to call Dave Wilson's part of Radio Liberty. Yes, Dr. Stan is out of town for a couple, 3 days, and I'm privileged to be able to sit in here for him. We've got some exciting guests, and I hope that you will not tune away just because I'm here. In fact, I like to know that you're out there, and I hear some comments every now and again saying, yeah, we do hear you. So thank you very much in advance for sticking with us through this afternoon's flight into an exciting topic that I'll mention in just a moment. But first, I've got to warn you, of course, that the comments made on this live program are the thoughts of my guests, my thoughts, and of course they can be your thoughts too if you give us a call. But they're not the thoughts of KKMC Radio or any other radio station, satellite, computer, or whatever else. Just remember that, okay? Thanks a lot. I appreciate in advance of what you're going to do for me today as we talk with Terry James, who's the co-author of a fascinating book for one called Are You Rapture Ready? Terry, are you there?
I'm here, Dave.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. This subject that is the subject of your book that came out earlier this year, co-authored with Todd Strandberg, is something that has controversial, to say the least. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to our audience, and then we'll get into why you wrote a book with such a controversial title. Terry James.
Yes, I am an author of 13 books, a co-author, general editor and writer of at least 13 books, including nonfiction and fiction, and we deal mainly with the prophetic word, as you mentioned, Dave, and you and I have interviewed several times in the past and been friends ever since, and we just like to mainly gear our books around what we call the eschatological view, which is, of course, the study of end things, and that means current events overlaid by the light of God's prophetic truth. And this is not to say that we can say this thing or that thing is prophecy. As a matter of fact, I don't believe that prophecy is in the process of being, I mean, it's in the process of being fulfilled now, but it's not actually being fulfilled, because I think the next thing on God's prophetic timeline is the rapture, and that, of course, is the subject of this book in which you're speaking about, and the book's title is Are You Rapture Ready? And the subtitle is rather long, and it kind of escapes my attention at the moment. but it is one that has, as you say, sparked some controversy, but a great deal of interest too. And as I understand, it was released in May this year,
right.
and it has done quite well in these months.
Well, you know, the book is about the rapture, and the rapture is all about something that's not necessarily mentioned per se in English in the Bible. That is, it doesn't say somewhere that here's the rapture, hang on, but it does say in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. That's where the rapture comes, because the English translation of a Latin word, I guess, raptus, means to be caught up. Isn't that right?
That's correct. The Greek word, of course, is harpazo.
Mm-hmm.
And where they get the word rapture, the people who bought into the lexicon the word rapture decided to use the Latin Vulgate form of this verb.
There is not any subject, I suspect, in Christendom, that is in perhaps even evangelical Christendom, that tends to bring out more suspicious natures, controversy, whatever. There are two large school of rapture preparedness, aren't there? Or perhaps even three.
I would say there are probably four, Dave.
Four, okay.
Well, I think you want to start out with the split rapture or the partial rapture, I think is one. Then you have the mid-trib rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, that is, will occur during the mid-tribulation, middle of that last 7 years and history. And then the third is post-tribulation rapture at the end of that tribulation era. And then the one that that I believe is the truth of the matter, and that is the pre-tribulation rapture. That is, that all Christians, that is, born-again people who've accepted Christ as Savior, will be taken out by Jesus to be into heaven with Him, as we see in John chapter 14, verses 1-3. We'll be with Him forever in heaven. I think that takes place before this last 7 years of tribulation occurs.
Now, is it your understanding, perhaps you agree with me, that some of the controversy comes in what people are considering to be tribulation? There's the Great Tribulation, there's the 7 years, and then there's other kinds of things that people say happened back in the time of Christ Himself.
Right. Now, these are all interpretations of man, of course. They base, for example, the mid-tribulation rapture theory, as it's called, that is that all people will be taken out at the mid-tribulation point, that is, at the 3 1/2 year mark of the 7 years period, is based on what Jesus called the Great Tribulation. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of time to this point, nor shall ever be." And they say that the last 3 1/2 years only is the wrath of God. Therefore, it's true, they believe that 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10 says that we're not appointed to wrath, meaning Christians are not appointed to wrath, but to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that, but then they say, well, the wrath of God doesn't really begin, according to Jesus, until 3 1/2 years into the tribulation period. The first 3 1/2 years, they say, is Satan's wrath, or man's wrath, not God's wrath. Well, the fact is that we asked ourselves in Revelation chapter 6, who is the one who undoes the first seal, who unseals the first seal of the seven seals' judgments? Well, it's the Lamb of God, and that's Jesus Christ. So, and Jesus Christ is God. So we'd have to say that God's wrath begins at the very first of the unsealing of the seven sealed scroll. And that's the reason I believe in one of the reasons, many reasons, but that's one of the reasons I believe in a pre-trib rapture.
You know, Dr. Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins have written a series of books. I can remember way back when I had Jerry Jenkins on this program when the book Left Behind, the very first one, came out. And I said, "Jerry, how many of these books are you going to be?" And he said, "Well, we're working on two, maybe three at the outside." And I guess maybe he changed his mind after that. But to give you some idea, ladies and gentlemen, about this man, Terry James, the foreword to his book, Are You Rapture Ready?, is written by Dr. Tim LaHaye, who is the co-author of the Left Behind series, now, I believe, in its 11th volume, with the last, they say, 12th one coming out next March. There's a lot of drama in churches about this Tim LaHaye, Jerry Jenkins series. Some people say it's laughable. Other people say it's the best thing since sliced white bread and all, and I tend to agree that it's probably one of the most phenomenal occurrences in Christian literature since way back. I tend to agree with what you say and Dr. LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins have to say about it, and he's put it down in an interesting way where we can get people interested in the subject, and then here you come with your book, Are You Rapture Ready? And by the way, Terry, the subtitle to that is Signs, Prophecies, Warnings, Threats, and Suspicions
that
the End Time Is Now.
That's it. And that collects some attention.
Yeah, it does indeed. And why should we be concerned as Christians whether are we rapture ready? I mean, do we have to be ready? Isn't it kind of out of our hands?
Well, you know, it sounds like almost like it's a conditional thing where it's a Christian can, if he doesn't hang on with all fingernails and toenails, can be left behind, as Tim says. But in my view, and I believe God's view, only those who are lost, that is, those who have rejected the call of Christ or the Holy Spirit, that is, to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the only way, truth, and life there is, and the only way to the Father, If that's rejected, then those who are alive at the time of the rapture will be left behind. All who have accepted Christ, and I believe anyone who has accepted Christ is eternally and forever in His almighty hands and will not be dropped.
Amen.
He might drop him, but he's not going to drop us.
Right.
And so I think every Christian will go in the rapture.
And that will be the end of it in terms of existence in this physical body here on earth with the things we know and seem to understand, although I doubt it sometimes, and that will begin our eternal existence with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be observers at that point of the happenings that are on earth leading towards the renewing and rebuilding and recreation, if you will, of a new heaven and earth. Isn't that right?
That's right, that's my understanding, and what a fantastic vista that's going to be, isn't it? You know, as you know, Dave, I'll mention it, I'm blind, as you know, and
mm-hmm.
I have been for about 10 years due to a retinal problem, and I really look forward to just that, but that's just minor compared to everybody, we're all blind, I think, in the sense of the eternal vistas that are out there, and all of our eyes will be open in a magnificent way.
There are some things, Cherry, that people say you can set a date for, and the Bible, however, I believe, says don't do that whatever you do because you're just simply wasting your time. Over the course of history, there have been literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have persisted in going against the words of Scripture and setting dates, like 1988 was a big one, I think.
A man right here in Arkansas wrote that, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember getting the book, you know, and they always make these arguments for and against all this different stuff. And we're wise not to set a date because, as I believe the Scriptures say, even the Son doesn't know when that date is. Just like we need to examine the wedding in our in Jewish lore, if you will, how it works. There's a lot of similarity in that story. The son, the bride, they don't really know when this is going to occur. And yet there are things, aren't there, that we can examine to kind of get an inkling that the times are drawing nigh, like suspicions that the end time is now, signs, prophecies, warnings, threats. That's what makes being a Christian exciting these days, don't you think?
Absolutely, and that is why it is so important to study prophecy. You know, prophecy is not being taught in the seminaries and from the pulpits, and the people in the pews are not getting the message of prophecy. And the reason it's so important is because the student of the Bible, a Christian, who is spiritually attuned, that is, filled by the Holy Spirit and desires to know these things, can know at least the signs of the times. Now, we believe that we cannot set a date, and that's certain. Jesus chose not to know because he is omnipotent. He's God. He chose in the flesh not to know his time when he's going to come back in the rapture. But it's so important, especially as we see, as we look at all the signals on the horizon today. Now, we're not in the middle of the tribulation. Jesus gave many of the signs, and the prophets gave many of the signs that will be occurring, but they'll be occurring during the tribulation period itself. Now, believers of the church age were not promised that they would even see these signals of Christ's coming, either in the rapture or at the second advent when he physically touches down on earth. But already, we can see from the way nations are lining up and from the way things are happening, the way society is turning exactly toward what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, with all the things, the way society will be fierce, incontinent, and all of these things, without natural affection, all of these things, we can see these occurring. But I think the most phenomenal thing to see is that fact that since May 14th of 1948, the nation Israel, and it was born basically in one day over the evening of the 14th and 15th.
And you're going to have to hold it right there because we're up against the clock, Terry, with exciting news, talking to Terry James. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
And we're back. I'm Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stanley Monteith, who's going to be away from this seat behind the microphone for the rest of the week. I hope that you'll join us for the next several days, as we're going to have some very exciting guests. And I'd like to just mention right now that tomorrow we'll be having Barrett Choce with us. On Thursday, I've got Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center. And on Friday, Dr. Randall Price, who is an archaeologist who's been on this program many times, and a friend of our guest this afternoon, Terry James, who's written Are You Rapture Ready? And I'm looking forward not only to the rest of our conversation today, Terry, because we're getting into the area that I really enjoy talking about, but also I'm excited about having Dr. Price on to talk to him about some of the things that are going on over there, because I understand he's just returned from Israel and having done a study of some of the things in the area of Qumran.
Yeah, Randy is just a fascinating man, and he has done some great, great work and continues to do so, and boy, that's going to be an exciting program. I hardly recommend that your listeners tune in. And Barrett Choce is tremendous.
Indeed.
Of interest, too.
Yeah, we were beginning to talk about the things of Israel, which really are not being taught along with prophecy per se in our churches today. There are a lot of churches who have promoted the idea that the church has taken over as the apple of God's eye since Israel is gone apostate and so forth and so on. But the words of Scripture, if we believe those words to be truly the words of God, simply use terms like eternal, everlasting, forever, so forth and so on. So how can these churches possibly turn away from this kind of teaching?
I don't know, Dave, except I know it's prophesied. God didn't make them turn away, but he predicted they would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly among the Reformed churches of America, it's more and more that way. And even the sound fundamentalist evangelical churches are beginning now to emphasize, what's going on right now, and how can we better our lives, and how can we interact socially and not appear to be too adamantly against what's going on in the world. And again, as I was saying, the nation Israel is a primary example of the timeline that we face as far as God's prophecy is concerned. We can look and see that's a miracle the way that nation was born.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, there are lots, you're a pilot and there are lots of accounts of pilots who fought in that said that they saw some miraculous things as far as even the air battles were concerned there. And what I like to say is that while we are not in the tribulation period and God in his prophetic grace did not promise us that we were going to see these signals, in other words, the people of the church age, and yet I like to look at it like a storm front. He has in his mercy and grace allowed the people of the church age, that is our time now, to see on the prophetic horizon all of these things developing, like Israel back as a nation, and not only back as a nation, but back as a nation in one day, and not only back in the nation as one day, but just as is prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, that it is at the center of all controversy. It is really considered the next trigger point for nuclear Armageddon, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Zechariah, the prophet, in chapter 12, wrote of or spoke of the fact that that Israel would become a burdensome stone and a cup of trembling to the whole world. And if that doesn't perfectly describe the situation now, I don't know what does. And yet we're not really in the tribulation era yet. But what that shows us is that, and the development of the European Union, which I believe is going to be the nucleus of the coming Antichrist empire.
Right.
We go all the way back to Daniel chapter 2 to see that set up. But these things all come together to point to the fact that we must be bumping right up against that moment when Jesus will step out on the cloud of glory and say, come up hither, as he did to John in Revelation 4:1. And so I think we're right up against that time when the rapture can occur.
You know, the idea that Israel would return as a nation someday is one that has been debated at length by many, many people, and it is a miracle of God that a nation of people dispersed for almost 2,000 years could come back together as a nation using the same language that they had. And
that's never happened before.
No, it's never happened before, and yet people say, well, it's just something of happenstance and circumstance. You know, it could have happened to almost anybody. It could have happened to the Moors in Spain or whatever, you know. But that in and of itself ought to cause Christian people to kind of take a look at what's going on in Israel. And as Golda Meir said, I believe, years ago, of all the strangest things, Israel doesn't even have any oil. Why would anybody be interested in Israel?
Yeah, a little dry piece of parched land, yeah.
No kidding. And yet, in every newspaper and practically every television news commentary that you see or on the radio, there is always something about the conflict that is going on in Israel, whether it's by the Palestinian incursion on their land or the retribution or reprisal, if you will, of what Israel is going. There's constant things. And for such a little country, I mean, it's only like 45 miles wide by 150 miles long or something like that. Why should we care, you know?
That's right. And it is truly amazing, that fact. And I always like to say, and I challenge your listeners here to disprove me, think in the past and look forward to the future,
mm-hmm.
to see if I'm not right. I like to say that no matter what happens around the world, I don't care if it's the threat of North Korea building a nuclear bomb or whatever it is, always the microphones and the cameras turn back to the city, the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and not only the city of Jerusalem, but the main bone of contention, the Mount of Mount Moriah,
right where the
temple sat, right where the Holy of Holies sat. If you want to get right down to it, and if you want to get even further down to it, as if you were looking in at a microscope of the whole thing, right to, I believe, where the Ark of the Covenant sat.
Absolutely, I believe that to be the center of the world, if you will.
So.
I have a picture in my office of the sun setting just behind that, taken from the Mount of Olives, and I look at it every day and reminisce about the four or five times that we've been over there. It's such an exciting thing to do. Now, I understand the State Department has issued a warning today or yesterday about people ought not to go there, you know, but as Christian people, you don't need to worry about going over there. You know, if something happens to you, what's the alternative? Well,
you're going to be there anyway.
You're going to be there, and you may as well learn a little bit about Hebrew now. We're going to take a break here, Terry, and come back for the second half of this program. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to reemphasize that our guest this afternoon is Terry James. His book that we're talking about today is Are You Rapture Ready? And it's published by Dutton. It's available at Amazon.com and your Christian bookstore. It's doing very well. And, in fact, I understand it's coming up in paperback now. Look for that. The name of the book, Are You Rapture Ready? The author is Terry James and Todd Strandberg. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from our break, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the exciting things that are happening here at Radio Liberty. And we'll open up the lines to callers if you want to. Call us here locally in Santa Cruz. It's 464-8295 or anywhere. Actually, you can hear the sound of this program. We'll drop the 50 cents or a dollar or whatever for you at 888-245-4237. That's 888-24-LIBERTY anywhere or 464-8295. And we'll be back with more Terry James in just a minute.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I get so excited sitting here on this chair, I forget to talk about what helps bring this program to you on these afternoons, whether you're listening over the internet or on shortwave or just locally here in the Central California coast, or however it is that you're able to get a hold of Radio Liberty. You know, the cost of putting these programs on is getting more and more each and every day, and I'd like to recommend very highly to you that if you're not a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, ask yourself, why not? It's so easy. For less than the cost of going out to a fast food restaurant with your family, you can be just shoulder to shoulder with Dr. Stan and the hundreds of other people who are helping underwrite the cost of these programs. You can find out more information about becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927, and we'll send you all of the information, not only about the family of supporters, but also about the fascinating things that Dr. Stan and his associates have accumulated here for your education and edification. You know, when you get the membership in the family of supporters, we send you the four very best tapes of the month, and you'll get a copy of Dr. Stan's insightful newsletter, which comes out just about this time every month with his insight into what's really going on in the world today. I have to mention, of course, that the donations are not tax deductible, because we want to be able to keep talking about the kinds of things that we talk about here. And I'm sure that there are those in the government end of things who are not too happy about what goes on. Anyway, consider it prayerfully. $20, and I'd like to say underlined or more, each month to Radio Liberty in support of keeping these programs on the air. That's 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. And we're talking with Terry James. We've got a caller on already. So, Terry, let's go ahead and see what the caller has to say. Hi, Dave in Illinois. How are you today?
Fine, Scott. There's been some mistake. I was listening to a different program.
Oh, you were, huh?
I was listening to Dr. Stan talk to Jeff McLam.
Oh, really?
On shortwave, and now you get you guys. There's been some kind of signal crossed. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, anyway, we're glad that you're here with us. We're talking with Terry James.
Yeah, well, I really don't know what to say, because I don't have any questions. I've been listening to you guys, so I really don't have anything to ask. I thought I was calling Jack McLean.
Okay, well, here
I'm not sure what happened there.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Dave. I'm happy that you're listening to Radio Liberty no matter what the venue. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right.
You know, there is a case in point. I don't even know how many programs of Radio Liberty, Jerry, are going on.
Yeah, that was right. Obviously a taped one somewhere.
Right, yeah. It's on shortwave and all kinds of things. It's Dr. Stan does about 5 hours a day these days, and I'm just, between you and me, I'm kind of glad he's taking just a tiny break here and letting me sit in, because he does work so hard. And ladies and gentlemen, please keep Dr. Stan in your prayers this week as he's traveling around. And keep me in your prayers, too, because I'm excited about sitting here, and I get so excited sometimes that I'm forgetting the things I need to do, but not right now with Terry James. How many of you have gone to Amazon.com and ordered your copy of Are You Rapture Ready? Well, go ahead and wait until the program's over, but we need to continue our conversation. And we were talking about Israel. We were talking about the fact that prophecy has been fulfilled in Israel. by the very virtue of the fact that there is an Israel since 1948 in May, I believe, and the fact that the whole world's attention is somehow drawn to the state of Israel. Now, what are some of the other signs, Terry, that we can look at to see fulfilled prophecy in our very lives here? That's what makes being a Christian so exciting in the 21st century.
Well, I think we can see, one very important thing I see, you know, the whole, one thing I see here is the whole Harry Potter thing, and it's like the whole world, there's a divide. I don't know if you can sense this or not, but I think most Christians who are attuned, and I'm sure you can, there's a definite, it seems to be a divide between, I call it kind of the great divide of the era, between believers, of those who are going on one side of you know, toward God, and as Moses offered to the children of Israel, let those who are stand for God come here, and the rest of you there. And and I think that we see that happening with the occult and all these things Dr. Stan addresses with regard to those, as it says in Daniel 8, understanding dark sentences. I think we're seeing more and more people who understand the dark sentences of this old world and he who rules this old world and those who want to be on the side of the Lord Jesus. And I think it's important for each Christian to get into prophecy for this, among many other reasons, because it gives you a more attuned spiritual ear to what's going on in today's world, and we definitely need to know what's going on. There's so many things. I know you and I both could name a lot of them, you know.
The
nations in alignment, a lot of different things.
One of the things that I find so fascinating is, and something that's always played up in Christian movies and others, and it's kind of poo-pooed by a lot of the media and secularists, is this idea of an antichrist. The idea that some individual here on earth will be so empowered by the dark side that he'll be able to literally take control of the earth in an evil kind of way and have people just doing whatever he says. There will be powers from on low given to him and those that he's working with. And it's fascinating to see, I believe, some of the things that have fallen into place already, particularly perhaps in the mindset of secular Israel. That is, the very first thing I think of, he'll come presenting a program of great peace. That's being from Daniel 8:25. And that's what the Israeli are looking for, aren't they?
Dave, if I had one particular thing I could point to out of all of the things we're talking about and say that this is how we know where we are on God's prophetic timeline, I would say it's the peace process.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see that process, and I'm not saying that President Bush, who I admired greatly, is a part of that, you know, in any insidious way. But this, all of this peace process, is pointing toward that covenant that's going to be made in Daniel 9:24-27, basically, and which the Antichrist will sign, guaranteeing peace and safety for Israel and its neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that will set in motion. That is what sets in motion the tribulation period. People think it's the rapture. It's not the rapture. It's that signing of the peace covenant, because God, in his jealous, righteous jealousy, he loves Israel, and they reject him and this seems to be what sets in motion the tribulation period, and judgment begins. Now, that process we see developing, I believe that this roadmap to peace is all part of it. It's building up to that moment when that peace that destroys many, Isaiah chapter 20, I believe, says, and Daniel and some other places.
Mm-hmm. I years ago, I had opportunity to listen in person to Leah Rabin. I was, she's the wife, as you know, of a former prime minister. I believe she has passed away since I've seen her. I believe she died of cancer here a couple of years ago. But anyway, the fascinating thing that I shall never forget is that she was up on a stage addressing an audience of several hundred people, I would say at least, and she said, "We are willing to give up almost anything for the thought of peace in our time." And that sent a chill down my spine, because if that's not prophetic answer right there of Daniel 8:25 as an example. Nothing is.
Right, and you know, we saw Ehud Barak nearly do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't to be, because Arafat rejected that. He would reject everything except Israel marching off to be drowned in the Mediterranean.
Exactly.
And, but anyway, that was interesting. What was it, 98%? He accepted 98% of what they wanted, I think.
Yep. And isn't it difficult for you and I, anyway, who have been used to freedom and security here in the United States, to understand the mindset of individuals who so long for peace that they're willing to give up the kinds of things that they have now?
Mm-hmm.
Although I believe that in some ways certain things are happening in this country.
That's exactly right, with the 9/11 thing.
Right. You know, there's another thing that Daniel wrote down in 8:25 that says the Antichrist is going to be just like his name says. He's going to be Antichrist. We see that in fulfillment of prophecy, I believe, today in many of the things that are going on right here in the United States of America. Don't you agree?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You know, it says the spirit of Antichrist, John wrote, I believe it was 1 John, wasn't it, chapter 4, that the spirit of Antichrist was already alive in
mm-hmm.
his time, and now, my goodness, it's going great guns.
Look at all the things that are happening here in the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave, a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. I know they don't like to hear that, some people, but it's a fact that law was written in response to the actions, I believe, of God directly in men's hearts. Not that the Constitution or the Bill of Rights are supernaturally endowed, but they saw in English law the things that were important that have evolved from the Ten Commandments and so forth, and gave us a document that is the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, that has worked for these 200 plus years, as man has been willing to agree that there is a supernatural element, a God that we must respond to. Now we see God being shut out of our schools back in the 60s, and look what's happened now, as all the people who were brought up in godless educations without prayer, without Bible, are beginning to take charge of our country. It's a fascinating thing.
That's right, and we see the consequences of that 63 mandate. Because, you know, took God out of you don't take God out of anything, but we supposedly
right.
said go and Bible reading, prayer, and all this. And yet we see that killers come in among the children, our children, killing each other in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly threatening and then shooting one a Christian girl and others too. It would appear that Satan is winning, but we know better.
Absolutely. I always encourage people to read the end of the book. If there's any
right.
part of the book they're going to read, that is the Bible, written by God, any translation you can find that's truly a translation or even a paraphrase, if you're brand new to all this, read the end of the book, ladies and gentlemen, and see what happens. We win. They lose. It's not a personal victory for Terry or me or any other Bible-believing Christian, but it's a victory for God and the fact that he has put all this into motion so long ago, and you and I are privileged to live right now as these things are coming to fruition right in our daily news. Now, good news today, Terry, I don't know whether you heard about it, the Senate passed a partial birth abortion ban, President Bush has said that he will sign that into law. But the thing that was my point here, I guess, is that more than 30 senators are still not willing to admit that this sort of thing is wrong and contrary to the will of God. Now, isn't that a prophetic sign, if you will?
One of the last signs of any, well, not only in prophetic terms, but just in his historical terms, end of any civilization that goes away from God is always reprobate thinking. Don't you agree, Dave?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where we've come to, where we call good evil and evil good. I mean, how much more reprobate can a man's mind be than to say, let's save the whale, and the same people are saying, let's save the whale, the snail darter, or whatever, are saying, you know, it's okay to murder babies in the womb.
And it's okay to euthanize people who are still alive in
That's
the state
right.
of Florida, apparently, although Governor Bush has come around there. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to
Absolutely.
Look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." And therefore, and probably some of the most scary words in the Bible to my way of thinking is Romans 1:24, "Therefore God gave them over." Wow, that's really something.
That's staggering when you think about it.
And I believe that we're in that time right now with the idea that it's okay to kill an unborn child and he or she may be born 99%. There is still no concept of the delicacy of human life nor the supernatural image or dimension of all life. The Bible
right.
says we were formed carefully in our mother's womb and God knew us before time. So
of course all other things that flow out of this reprobate thinking, like, you know, it's okay for a man to lay with a man or a woman mm-hmm. to lay with a woman, as a, and now we're talking about giving them husband
marital status, right.
status and all of these other things. We've decided that God doesn't belong, despite these chiseled in stone all over the halls of Washington and the courthouses of America. We no longer can have the Ten Commandments in the courthouses, and it's just it goes on and on and on. We see Satan's insidious fingers all over everything, and of course, just as God uses mankind, uses his people to accomplish his will in this life, most generally in human flesh, well, Satan uses human beings to accomplish his will. It seems to be a heavenly or a supernatural way of doing things.
There is a supernatural dimension to all of life, and the thing that we've moved away from in our society here in the United States is that we have begun to embrace the humanistic / materialistic things of life, where
right.
materialism comes first, and it was probably a natural, although bad, progression from the way capitalism got started. We've moved away from capitalism being the kind of capitalism that it was back in the early years of our country, and we've come now to where the idea of he who dies with the most toys wins,
right.
that sort of thing, and other horrible things. You know, the Bible tells us, too, that every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts.
Amen.
And that's what we need to convince people on programs like this and with books like yours, that they need to understand what God's will is for them. And Terry, I think that's why you've done such a great service, you and your co-author Todd, by writing Are You Rapture Ready? Which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't hear me earlier, is coming out in paperback and should be available soon at your Christian bookstore and certainly at Amazon.com. It's Are You Rapture Ready? And I'll read the subtitle, but only one more time, Terry. Signs, prophecies, warnings, threats, and suspicions that the end times is now, or that the end time is now.
Yeah, that's quite a moniker.
Well, that's a good one. I like that, by Todd Strandberg and our guest today.
Can I tell you who thought that one up?
Sure.
The secular, the very, very secular people at the Penguin Dutton group.
Oh, really?
That thrilled me when I was called and asked to do a book on the rapture by someone who has no concept of it at all, hardly. Great people. I mean, but they were open-minded. I believe God opened their minds, and I'm just praying that that book will do great things, even in those editorial offices. I'm just praying that. And I got some indication that my prayers have been answered within the last week. So.
Oh, that's great. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that as we come back from our final break. 50 minutes into the hour now with Terry James. These things fly by when we're having a good time. And thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to join us, you can, 464-8295 or 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237. Anywhere you can hear the sound of this particular radio station or this particular internet broadcast. Don't call if you're listening somewhere else, but then I guess you couldn't hear that anyway. So we'll be back from a break in just a few minutes. Keep us on your prayer list, Dr. Monteith, while traveling, me while trying to do this thing, Terry while he's writing, and, of course, all those who are listening who need the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back. We'll talk more about that as we return in 1 minute.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Fewer than 8 minutes are remaining in a, Tuesday's edition of Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stan while he's away for the rest of the week. My guest, Terry James, and I invite you to call if you want to put in your 2 cents worth about the conversation at 464-8295 or 888-24-LIBERTY. We have one caller on the line, and it'll be exciting to see what program he's listening to, huh, Terry?
Yes.
Hi, Steve of Orange. How are you?
Fine.
Now, are you listening to us or somebody else?
I'm listening to you.
All right. Have you got a question or comment?
Well, I noticed Jesus and Peter and Paul basically give compilation lists of things that would be going on to indicate that we are in the final stages of this era, mm-hmm. of this church age, and I kind of think that if someone were to write a compilation of all these lists and put them together with all the stuff that's going on now, I'd pretty much think that they would say, hey, this is it. We're in the final stages of this thing.
Well, I think you're right, and I think that's what Terry has done, actually.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean it's like nowadays. I heard somebody saying, "Well, you may be violating the first, second, and seventh and eighth commandments. You may be booted God out of this area of your life. But if you're getting results, and I like how you're doing it."
Right. I've heard that kind of thing, too. Yeah.
That's pretty scary. Steve, I appreciate your comments, and thanks for listening today. Are you down in Orange, California?
Yes.
Great. There's a website that you can go to that's called Rapture Ready, which compiles on a daily basis all of the kinds of things that you were just talking about. So look for that. I know you have Internet access, so look for RaptureReady.com. And go to the Rapture Index. I think you'll be fascinated. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that is a good place to go. This website is written and compiled by Terry's co-author, Todd Sternberg, I believe. Mm-hmm. And RaptureReady.com has got a fascinating compilation of things on a daily basis about what's going on in the world, and he has a categorical list of all the kinds of things that are going on, and what he calls a rapture index, that is, how close are we getting to various and sundry times. But, you know, all as exciting as all this is, Terry, and as much fun as it is to be a Christian in the 21st century, understanding and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, there are those who are listening to this program who may believe that the world is coming to an end, but they are hopeless and without confidence in their ability to survive. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, Luke 21:28 says, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, and look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. That means Jesus is very close to coming back, and he is your redemption. Well, what does redemption mean? It simply means believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that's a heartfelt belief that Jesus is the only way to the Father. His death, burial, and resurrection and belief in that, that is the gospel. And so you can look up as you see these things developing and know that your redemption is drawing nigh, getting very close whenever you see these things begin to come to pass. And we've been watching them begin to come to pass for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my advice is, of course, to accept Christ today.
The idea that we need to accept Christ and is so crucial to all that we've said here this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, that I can't overstate it. We'll be talking more about it as the days go by this week. But you need to understand and you need to encourage your pastors and elders to talk about not how you can obligate God to answer your prayers or how you can have a better marriage or teenage children that operate better according to what you think, but you need to encourage your pastors and elders to begin to preach about the righteousness of God and the need for Christ in your life, because without that, you cannot understand. Yes, God is loving, but he is also righteous, and therefore, ladies and gentlemen, he can't have anything to do with you, as sad as that may sound. He loves you, but yearns for you to receive salvation in the purchase price paid by Jesus Christ so long ago. His righteousness is what we're looking forward to. And, Terry, we're at the end of our program. I want to thank you so much for being with me this afternoon.
Thank you for the privilege of being with you, Dave. Appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to new books that come out from you, and hopefully we'll be having another conversation about this subject or something else very soon.
That would be terrific. Give my best to Barrett and to Randy.
I'll do that.
All right.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And, of course, that was Terry James. He's the author, as you've probably written down by now, Are You Rapture Ready? Get it. It's a good gift you could give a Christian friend. It's a gift that clearly explains your obligation as a Christian person to understand what's going on. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, you really do need to know what's going on. In this world that we have today, things are kind of scary. So please, please, let's get with the program. Let's understand what a righteous God truly has to do by virtue of his righteousness. And let's understand what he has already done. Let me just mention to you that Radio Liberty exists by the grace of God and through the support of people just like you. If you want to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters for your $20 a month or more, and I'd like to emphasize that or more, we're going to send you the four best tapes of the month. We'll send you a copy of Dr. Stan's insightful newsletter, and we will say thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you that things are going on in this world that you care about enough to make sure that we get the truth out, because it's hard to see. It's hard to understand in these complex times. Terry's book today has clarified it. Some of the things we're going to be talking about with Barrett Chose tomorrow will equally qualify it, and I am certainly looking forward to talking to you about it. Until then, here comes my old theme song. Well, I'm not going to play it. Kate Smith says, God bless America. But can she honestly, God bless America? Maybe that's something we need to think about. Let's play it anyway. And as the Lord tarries, I'll see you tomorrow.